Good afternoon, everyone. I know we have grantees and their partners and subcontractors here from around the country. So I want to take a moment to thank you for taking some time out of your day-to-day to learn more about the benefits of becoming an employment network through the Social Security Administration's Ticket to Work program. It's more than just a requirement of your HVRP grants. This process is a potentially huge benefit to your organization and the homeless veterans you serve. My name is Bailey Crone, and I'm with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, one of two technical assistance providers for Department of Labor's HVRP program. This call is being hosted by myself and John Rio of Advocates for Human Potential. John has many years of dedicated service to veterans and is committed to assisting the HVRP program through his work with the National Veterans Technical Assistance Center located at the Burton Blatt Institute at Syracuse University. We're lucky to have him here. John, before I get into the logistics for today's call, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
Thanks, Bailey. I just would also like to underscore your comments and the partnership between the National Coalition and the National Veterans TA Center at Syracuse. We're glad to be doing this together. And we're glad that we have so many listeners on the call today. And particularly, we're encouraging the HVRP programs that are participating today to really take to heart the expectation that was cited in the solicitation for grant applications at USDOL, in which it was said that coordination with community programs is essential, and one of those programs is the Social Security Administration's Ticket to Work program. And as part of the Ticket to Work program, HVRP grantees are expected to register as employment networks. So we're really excited today to have you to learn more about how to do that. Back to you, Bailey.
John. So first I want to go over a few quick logistics about accessing the call's materials, troubleshooting the agenda, and the process for asking questions. Everyone should have received an updated reminder for today's call with the conference call number, a link to the PDF for today's presentation, and instructions for joining the webinar. This email came from conferencecalls@nchv.org, so if you don't see it in your inbox, please check your junk mail folder. The webinar format will allow you to read through the presentation slides, which will be guided by our speakers. If for some reason you can't get into the webinar platform and would like to download the presentation for future use, you can get to the PDF from the NCHV website. It was provided in the email, a link to where the presentation is. But if you can't find it, go to www.nchv.org. On the right-hand side of your screen, there's a gray box with a red outline that says NCHV conference calls. If you click on that, there is a link called presentation, and that has the download of the PDF. But you should be able to access the webinar platform, and that should make it a lot easier for you as well. Now, hopefully everyone has the presentation. Please note that the presentation, the audio from today's call, and a question sheet will be available on the website by early next week, both on the NVTAX website and NCHV's. If at any point in today's call you run into any technical difficulties, please email me, and I'll do what I can to help you get to the materials. My email address is bcrone@nchv.org and was also included in the email you received earlier. The agenda today will run as follows. First, our friends with Maximus will spend some time going over the background, mission, and benefits of becoming an EN as an HVRP grantee. Then, two HVRP grantees who are current ENs will discuss their experiences as ENs, giving insight on day-to-day implementation and explaining how the process is used with a specific client. Following the HVRP grantees, Maximus will then discuss the application process with us. And thank you to all of our speakers today. You're all doing great work, so I thank you for your service to our veterans. We're packing in quite a bit of information today, but we'll do our best to leave time at the end of the call for questions. If you want to ask a question during the call, you can either submit it via the chat function on the webinar, you can email it to me, or ask a question directly when we open the floor to Q&A at the end of the presentation. If you have a question or comment to make after today's call, please email me, and I'll make sure that I direct your question to the appropriate speaker. Again, my email address is bcrone@nchv.org. So let's go ahead and get started. I want to introduce today's speakers. First, we're going to have Kristen Willard. She leads the Ticket to Work Technical Assistance and Support Center, which is located at Maximus. She started her career working in biobehavioral research at Georgetown University's Medical Center's Lombardi's Cancer Center. She also managed a veteran service project. She managed a veteran service project at Inverness Technologies under the VR&E division to provide a wide range of rehab and employment services to service members and veterans with service-connected disabilities. She's also served as the EN recruitment lead for the TICKET program, overseeing efforts to recruit capable and responsive ENs to assist SSI and SSDI beneficiaries. She'll be joined by Meg Little, who's an account manager for the TICKET to Work program, working on the operations support manager contract for SSA. She specializes in recruitment and education of organizations on the benefits of becoming an EN. She's been with SESI for 2 years and previously worked on recruitment and outreach. After Kristen and Meg, we're going to have some folks from Volunteers of America on the line. David Scarborough has been with Volunteers of America for 5 years and manages the COCO program's training, education, and employment services. He previously worked as an employment specialist, working with DVR-supported employment referrals, and as the job developer. Recently retired after serving 24 years in the military, David understands the necessity of providing these types of supportive services to our veterans because they result in increased quality of life and a level of self-sufficiency. He'll be joined by Antoine Bayard, who is also with Volunteers of America of Florida. He is a training, education, and employment manager there, and he coordinates services of the drop-in center, the multi-service center, and the lifelong learning center. He's been with VOA Florida for quite a while, and VOA Florida has been an EN provider for about 8 or 9 years. Finally, we'll have Bill Reed, who is the Director of Economic and Neighborhood Development at YWCA of Greater Harrisburg. He manages an HVRP program for serving homeless veterans, and as a 26-year veteran himself, Bill is aware of the importance of a job in the life of veterans and is focused on delivering services that help them engage in the workforce. YWCA is also an EN, and they have been for a while. So with those introductions, we can go ahead and get started with Kristen and Meg.
Thank you so much, Bailey. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for having us today. As Bailey indicated, my name is Kristen Willard. I'm joined here by my colleague Meg Little, and we work in the Technical Assistance and Support Center, and that's located at Maximus. Now, Maximus is the Operations Support Manager, or the OSM, for the TICKET program, and our contract provides technical support to service providers involved in TICKET, as well as payments, training, and administrative functional support. Okay, let's move on to slide 3. So really what we want to do is give you a good foundation in TICKET today. What is the TICKET to Work program? Well, it's an employment program administered by Social Security. Who is it for? For beneficiaries with disabilities, specifically those aged 18 to 64, and they're receiving SSDI and or SSI cash benefits. That's important, and or SSDI and or SSDI. Let's talk about sort of the why and the how behind the program. So what is it that we're looking to accomplish? What are our goals? We'll move on to the next slide for that, where you can see the picture of Bob Williams, who is the Associate Commissioner of the Office of Employment Support Programs at Social Security. Now, in order to improve upon the availability and quality of employment support programs, Mr. Williams has laid out his guiding principles for TICKET, and he calls them the 5 C's. So first, we have choice. Our mission through TICKET is to increase the availability and quality of choices available to participants in TICKET. We call them TICKET holders. And by providing more choices to them, they're better able to obtain the skills they need and to select employment that will lead them to self-sufficiency, which we know is the ultimate goal of the work that we're doing. Second, we want to increase the capacity of service providers. So the idea behind this is to increase both the number and the quality of service providers to ensure employment and self-sufficiency outcomes for the beneficiaries I mentioned before. Third, SSA seeks coordination and collaboration among employment support providers. Now, this ensures that services are provided in the most simple, easy to understand, and straightforward manner possible. And finally, SSA is looking for increasingly credible results. So we know there are many paths to success. we need to make sure we open paths that can improve the performance of the Ticket to Work program. We know this partnership with you can help us to do that. I'm going to move on to the next slide, which is slide 5. If you take a look here, why is the ticket program a good fit for HVRP grantees? Really what I want to point out is the similarity in the guiding missions here. For HVRP, to provide services to assist in reintegrating homeless veterans into meaningful employment within the labor force. And for Ticket, what we're doing is offering SSI and SSDI recipients expanded choices for obtaining the services and supports to enter and maintain employment. So the bottom line, we're both engaged in integration or reintegration into the labor force that leads to self-sufficiency. So that demonstrates sort of the general tie between the two initiatives. Let's talk more specifically on this next slide, that's slide 6, about veterans in relation to Ticket and to Social Security more specifically. If you look at this first bullet here, it's veterans and their families represent 40% of adult Social Security beneficiaries. That's really a staggering statistic when you look at how many individuals that we serve within Ticket are individuals that you are already serving. For the next two bullets, these go together. We know that many of them are already receiving disability benefits, veterans specifically. We also know that many would be eligible if they applied. Veterans with a rating of 60% or higher, those with service-connected disabilities, they qualify for SSDI. The next bullet, many have open cases with the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency. And this is important because as an employment network with Ticket to Work, you'd be able to receive payments for services provided to these VR clients after their cases are successfully closed. Okay, now I've introduced the term employment network to the conversation. What I'm going to do is turn it over to Meg Little, who's an account manager with our team here at TASC. She'll tell you more about employment networks and how the program works.
Hi, everyone. We're going to turn over to slide 7 and talk a little bit about what an employment network is. An employment network is an organization that's deemed qualified by Social Security to provide employment services to ticket holders receiving SSI or SSDI. So what happens with employment networks? When employment networks provide services to beneficiaries and help them go back to work and achieve milestones and outcomes in the workplace, Social Security will pay those organizations. The funding that you receive under the ticket program is not considered to be double-dipping with other funding that you're receiving at this time. We encourage all of our employment networks to really implement ticket into your existing program. We refer to that as braided funding because the services that you're providing under ticket and when you get paid by Social Security, it's not considered a fee-for-service. It's an outcome-based program. So as an employment network, Social Security asks that the EANs provide career counseling, job placement, and ongoing employment support services to these ticket holders. So who can become an EN? It can be a private for-profit and or nonprofit organization. It can be a government agency, not federal, and an employer or other general service providers. We're going to turn it over to slide 8 and kind of talk a little bit about what in a day-to-day process is like when you're an employment network. So what happens is that you, as an EN, will connect with the ticket holder. And then once you connect with the ticket holder, you'll meet one-on-one and develop what we refer to as an individual work plan, which is when you develop goals and outcomes for that ticket holder when they're looking to go back to work. So once you develop this individual work plan, you'll sign and agree to it and submit it to us at Maximus. And once we approve it at Maximus, then that ticket is technically assigned to your employment network. So once that ticket is assigned to your EN, you can provide the services that you discussed with the ticket holder in the IWP. And so while you're providing these services and that beneficiary goes back to work, what you should do is collect their evidence of earnings. So once they start earning an income, collect that evidence, and then you'll submit it to us here at Maximus so you can get paid. Now we're going to turn it over to the next slide and talk a little bit about what is the benefit for a beneficiary participating. It's important to remember that when a beneficiary participates in the ticket program, it's completely voluntary. They are not required to participate. And they also have the choice of who they would like to assign their ticket to and who they would like to work with. And one of the great benefits for beneficiaries participating in the ticket program is that if their ticket is assigned to an employment network and they're actively seeking employment and meeting timely progress, then they are exempt from having to go through their continuing disability review. And if you aren't familiar with the CDR, it's an annual checkup that a beneficiary will go through a doctor to kind of check in on their disability and see if they're still qualified to receive benefits. So if they're actively out there and seeking employment or working, they do not have to go through their continuing disability review. And also, participating in the ticket program gives the beneficiary an opportunity to earn more than just their disability payments alone, meaning that while they're going back to work, they can still be earning their benefits, and as they continue to work and maybe transition into full-time employment, they'll eventually transition off of their benefits, and ultimately they'll actually be earning more money than they did when they were receiving benefits alone. And you'll find that a lot of the veterans that are looking to go back to work have worked in the past, so they are probably more motivated to go back to work, and this is a really great opportunity and program for them to step into. So now we're going to turn it over to one of our current employment networks to talk a little bit about their existing program.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Scarborough, and I am the Training, Education, and Employment Manager for Volunteers of America of Florida's COCO Veterans Transitional Housing Program. A little bit about our program. Besides housing, our COCO program offers other supportive services designed to meet the unique needs of our homeless veterans in our community. To help them achieve independence, these services are delivered through three areas: housing, health services, and training, education, and employment. Now I'd like to take a few moments to speak about the training, education, and employment services we offer. Specifically, those services we are able to provide through our Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, and how these services are a good fit for the Ticket to Work program. I think as previously mentioned, if you are an HVRP grantee, I guess it is now required or going to become mandatory that you do become an EN or employment network provider for Ticket to Work. We have been doing so for a number of years. And why Ticket to Work is a good fit? Well, through our HVRP program, we are already providing the necessary things needed for our veterans to become employed. We're providing job readiness and training services, resume writing, job search placement, job referral. Through HVRP, we can purchase work clothes and tools, provide transportation assistance, job readiness skills, and vocational guidance. So you might still be asking yourself, why Ticket to Work? Why is this such a good fit for HVRP? Well, like I said, through HVRP, you are already providing employment services to assist veterans with finding meaningful employment. However, the funds provided through your HVRP grant are cost reimbursement for the most part, meaning you have to spend money out of pocket to provide these employment services. Then, of course, you submit for reimbursement to the DOL, VA, for those expenses you have incurred. So the bottom line is if you are an HVRP grantee, you are really not making any money for your agency. You're basically breaking even at the end of the grant year based upon the amount of the grant money you have been awarded. That being said, then again, why is Ticket to Work such a good fit for HVRP? Well, Ticket to Work is a good fit because once you become an EN or employment network, you have the opportunity, an unlimited opportunity, to be compensated for all of the employment services you are currently providing through your Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program. The compensation you will receive from Ticket to Work is unrestricted and unlimited. Since our agency has become an employment network, during the past 3 years, our COCO program has generated an additional $75,000 in outside funding from this. The goal of Ticket to Work, as mentioned, is to give people specifically, those veterans you enrolled in your homeless veterans reintegration program, the opportunity to achieve steady long-term employment. When our HVRP staff interviews potential veterans for enrollment into HVRP, we also find out at the same time whether they are receiving any type of benefits such as SSI, Supplemental Security Income, or SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance. And if they are receiving these benefits, then we refer them to the local vocational rehab office so they can sign up for VR services, or if they qualify, receive a ticket to work. We have a good working relationship with all of our local voc rehab offices, and I would encourage you to take the time to visit your local VR offices and make that connect with whoever manages the VR office, and especially the counselors. Because like I say, when we refer veterans down there after we've enrolled them in HVRP, they quite frequently come back to us for employment services. So I would encourage all HVRP grantees to become familiar with the Ticket to Work program and apply to become an employment network provider. Becoming a provider for Ticket to Work is an easy process. It's painless. Over the years, they've tweaked Ticket to Work, and there's a lot of people out there, such as on the conference call today, that are more than able to guide anyone through the process. So in closing, I would like to say that this is a win-win situation for everyone. And the bottom line is that not only will your agency benefit from doing so, but it would also benefit the homeless veterans you are serving through HRP. Thank you. And now I believe Antoine Bayard, another one of our program managers, will be saying a few remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, I'm going to have a special request that I speak a little bit more than 5 minutes, because I'm going to touch base on a topic that a lot of us fail to explore. Let's assume that we have to make 25 placements in a quarter as required by Department of Labor under HVRP grant. And we are also assuming that we, for that quarter, place 20 homeless individuals, 20 homeless veterans successfully, but there are five who are not so placeable. And those are the five that normally come to our office, and they want a job, and they want a job right now, today. They haven't been working for 10, 20 years, but today they want a job right away. Those are the same five who cannot sit down for a long time, cannot stand up for a long time, they're filing for Social Security disability, they have back pains, they're taking medication, and so on and so forth. Our natural tendency would be, well, I'm going to have a hard time with this individual, and we put them in the back burner. And what happened actually is 1 month, 2 months down the road, they disappear because we fail to provide some sort of employment, because we are taking as employment as a job that is probably 9 to 5, where people have to be consistent every day. Well, we don't have to be doing that anymore. Those five individuals can be referred based on the state where you live, respectively, or on the city. I am in Miami, and I sent all these five people to get the peddling license, because they want instant gratification, they want a job now, they want money now, a peddling license would do. For individuals who don't have a disability, we normally would pay $500 to $600 for that license. If your homeless veteran has a disability, the license for the county and one license for the city, that's $4.50. And I repeat, $4.50. And they get the licenses for 1 year. Whenever I talk about peddling, people think about selling water in the street. Well, in the warm states like California, Texas, Florida, yes, I can understand people can make a lot of money during the summertime. your five individuals difficult to be placed if they decide to pedal in the street. They can make anywhere in a weekend from $200 to $500. And they work at their own pace, at their own convenience. Now, imagine they work 5-6 days, you just double that. Okay? So that's instant gratification, instant income for people who are being evicted or people who want to have a quick fix, put it this way. Now, of the five individuals, let's assume that two decide to pedal. And what I mean by pedal, it means that, I mean, for Mother's Day, for example, selling flowers, for a concert, selling T-shirts. Right now, it will be a hot topic to be selling baseball caps in St. Louis. Okay, so you have the picture. Now, of these five individuals, there are two that decide to do the pedaling, but three are still resistant to the idea. Let's explore something a little bit more durable, something more feasible, something more permanent. Do you guys know that if you become or when you become an EN, you can send these three individuals to Division of Vocational Rehabilitation for self-employment? And this is one area that we most of the time fail to address, to explore. You send the three individuals to DVR. Do you know that if they decide to be self-employed, DVR can give them $10,000, $20,000, $40,000 startup cost for the business? We're not talking about a loan. We're talking about a grant. You don't have to return the money. Now, in addition to that, if the individuals, the three individuals we're referring to, are receiving SSI or SSDI, they can also receive PASS, which is the plan for achieving self-sufficiency, or PESS, which is the, anybody help me with PESS? Okay, that's the property essential to self-support.
Antoine, I hate to cut you off. This is Bailey, but just keeping us honest with time, we have to move on to Bill in a minute. Do you mind wrapping up?
Okay. But basically what I'm saying is that when you have a business, if you have an income, a revenue, let's say per month of $2,000, and then this is income, and since you are above the threshold, you definitely can have a ticket, okay? So bear in mind that any individual who decides to do a business can be referred to DVR, and you can become what we call a CBTAC, which is a consultant, which is a certification for a business technical, and there is money in there for the people who have this certification. Okay, so to do a business plan with somebody, not only that you encourage them to have their business, but also the EN get an income of about $6,500 when the business is developed and well established. If you have any question, please, at the end, you can call me, and I can tell you how to become a certified business technician, technical assistant, or I can give you some a referral for the pedaling and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Thanks, Antoine.
Okay.
All right, Bill, now on over to you.
Uh-oh. Am I in the wrong spot? There I am. Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Reed with the YWCA Greater Harrisburg. I just want to start by thanking you all for your service to my brothers and sisters out there. I miss the national conference where I get to see you at least once a year, but I want to thank you for your continued service. What I want to talk about quick is why being an employment network, isn't just a good thing, but a vital need and something that I feel we're going to need more in the future. If you look at this slide, number 12, I think what you'll see is just a quick snapshot of the average homeless vet that comes into our programs. We have an HVRP program and a homeless female and homeless veterans with families program currently here at the YWCA. And I think when you look at what benefits that the typical homeless veteran we're meeting out there comes in with, Of course, the majority have no resources if they're single, but when you look at it, we actually have more coming in using and utilizing Social Security benefits than we do VA benefits. Anybody who's been in HVRP a while understands that oftentimes people may be VA eligible but not service-connected. So while they may get some benefits from the VA, they may not get any kind of cash benefits. We also have a large number of people in HVRP, although we're seeing less now, who come in and who are not VA eligible at all. So especially with the growing age of the typical homeless vet we're serving right now, especially the single homeless vet, the Vietnam era vets, and more the Gulf War era vets, they're having medical problems and other things, and the Social Security system is where they've gone. We also are seeing in Pennsylvania especially, we have depending on who you ask, the largest or the second largest deployed National Guard unit in the country. A lot of those individuals are going to come back or are coming back, and they're not going to be VA eligible, or they're going to have very limited VA eligibility because of the way the system calculates active duty service time and how they're going to equate that into VA benefits. So as they come back and they require services, we can anticipate more and more of them having to utilize mainstream Social Security benefits to get the services they need. And they're going to rely on these services. But many of them are going to be young, and they're not going to spend their entire life relying on a system. Next slide. So just a quick summary. Why is it good? Homeless veterans are ineligible for VA benefits. They often go to Social Security. If they have a high level of disability, they may have VA benefits and still seek Social Security benefits. Again, the aging, the relying on benefits, oftentimes Social Security is their only option. The next bullet, though, is the one I really have found as an EN that's important for this ticket to work, and that's fear of losing medical benefits. Many of the individuals we work with, and we started out as an EN because we also have a SAMHSA program for individuals with mental health or co-occurring disorders, those kinds of barriers, who want to have employment. And what we find, not just with that group, but with the vets that we're working with, is that fear of losing medical benefits. And anybody who's an HVRP or been one for a while knows that finding jobs that provide medical benefits is tough enough out there. Well, the ticket allows them to keep their benefits while they enter the workforce. It gives them that opportunity, and especially medical benefits, to stop those reviews, to start the work process, to find out if they can make a sustainable living in the workplace without losing those benefits immediately. And what's really great about the program is that if they lose employment or if for some reason they don't stick with the program, it's very expeditious for them to go back and get their benefits from the Social Security Administration. And when you're an EN, it's important that you work closely with the Community Work Incentive Coordinator. We actually have our own here, and that you know how the Social Security system works. But it's not insurmountable. Once you have that, and you have that embedded in your program, you'll find that many people who really wanted to work under the table, do the kinds of things that don't lead to outcomes, that don't lead to self-sufficiency, they're willing to take that chance, they're willing to step out, and they're willing to try and work. Once they get in the workplace, many, many times we find they're much happier there, and they live fruitful and successful lives. Next slide. So if you look at slide 14, the way we would normally do it here is during the normal outreach and assessment process, we identify anybody that's on Social Security. We determine if they have a ticket. If they're homeless, they're going to probably need an address to get a ticket. We do all the things we would normally do anyways. If they don't have ID, we help them find ID. We have a place where they can send an address so they can have things mailed. We do all those things so we can connect them to Social Security. When they have that ticket, they own the ticket. If they want to let us have their ticket, it's a shared experience. We can choose not to take the ticket, and they can choose not to give it to us. That's a good, empowering relationship to have with those we serve. We determine their status. We make sure they get benefits counseling through a CWIC so they can look at how much they can make, how it's going to impact their benefits. Then we use that HBR requirement of having an individual employment plan, and we build that plan right alongside with the IWP for the ticket. They're really asking and looking for the same kinds of things. So it's very easy to incorporate both of those steps into one simple process. We establish goals, and the goals are both for their work plan, for ticket to work, and for their HBRP work plan. So we put those two together. We establish their goals. What's nice about it is because they really need to work with their case manager to make sure their earnings and their income are following their plan, are at a level where they can eventually move to independence, but they're not going to lose benefits before they can, we find that those individuals are more likely to follow up with us even after they've been placed in employment. And in HBRP, that's always been a challenge. You get them a job and they disappear, but you still have to report on them for 3 quarters following employment. This program really helps maintain that connectivity throughout and beyond, with the added benefit of bringing extra monetary resources to the agency that we can use to then help the clients beyond their placement period, where we're really limited on what we can spend or use to help them. So it really provides an extra boost to get them through those 3 quarters after they've been placed. Next slide. So I'm going to talk really quickly about two success stories. The first one's George. George is your typical, if you've been in the business a while, Vietnam-era vet, but not really. When you meet George, you would think George was on the street, George was whatever. But once we got to meet George, we found out George was highly educated. George had learned how to use the system to combine Social Security and HUD to maintain a stable but unfulfilling life. George yearned to return to the jobs that he had had. He had support for his PTSD, but he needed to be able to work his way back into the workforce so that he can make enough money so that when his Social Security benefits, and more importantly, HUD housing benefits, went away, he could afford to leave them behind and move forward. He's doing that now, and he's a real success, without getting into too much detail, making good money, really becoming the independent, fulfilled individual that he was, is now, and will always desire to be. And then I'd like to talk about Anthony. Anthony is another homeless vet, Gulf War era, more of what I'm starting to see now. Prison record, big challenge we're facing now in HVRP. Mental health and co-occurring. Anthony's one of those individuals that came through my one program and got bounced to be able to support it through HVRP and mental health. So we're finding more and more of that. We work together, we collaborate, and we collaborate with the EN. Prison, his normal path was prison, streets, emergency shelter, and now he's HUD VASH. He's doing well because he's willing to take a chance to lose benefits but have the benefits he needs now while he completes his certified recovery specialist training and earns some money. This being a ticket holder, this ticket to work program, it really allows the clients we serve, the heroes we serve, the opportunity to take that chance to achieve their dream and do it in a way where they're not putting their mental health at risk because they're going to lose their benefits and not have meds and not be able to maintain themselves in a healthy condition where they can function within society. So now I think I'm going to turn it over to Kristen.
Thank you so much. It's actually going to be Meg, but she's here as well. So
I'm going to go ahead and kind of continue on with what we've been talking about, a little bit of our successful EANs that you've heard on the call. But I'm just going to cover a little bit about what are the benefits of becoming an employment network if you decide to pursue this route. Becoming an EAN will allow you the opportunity to receive additional revenue as you continue to help the Department of Labor meet the employment needs of these homeless veterans. And as we've been saying over and over again, the ticket payments under the ticket program are unrestricted. You can use it however you see fit into your existing programs. And like I said before, there's also the benefit of rated funding. It's not double dipping with any of the current funding that you're receiving. And also, if you're working with ticket holders that are successfully going back to work and maintaining full-time employment and eventually transitioning off of their benefits, it is a generous funding stream. For an SSI beneficiary, you do have the ability of earning a little over $22,000 over the course of a few years. And the same with SSDI, it's a little over $23,000. So that's something to keep in mind. And not everybody reaches that point, but you do have beneficiaries that go back to work that do transition off of benefits and become more independent. And also, beneficiaries hired qualify for work opportunity tax credits. And also, to become an EN, there's no fee to become an EN, and the services that you provide to beneficiaries are also free. So we're going to move on to the next slide and talk a little bit about, you know, some EN models. And this is one of the things that I like to tell a lot of potential ENs is that it's really important to kind of utilize your resources out there. And there are many partnerships that you can develop. So with EN models, it's important to remember that if you do come from a large organization that might have a headquarters, kind of like a hub or a spoke model, they can become an employment network, and the locations outside of the headquarters can actually be the locations providing the services. So the headquarters kind of deals with the administrative piece and some of the things that we've talked about, developing IWPs, submitting for payments, doing the kind of paperwork, while you provide the services. But then there's also the collaborative model, which is utilizing resources from larger entities out there. So for example, if you don't currently have the funding to support the ticket program fully, you can partner with an existing EN or a workforce agency, a mental health system. While they provide the main employment network services, you can partner with them and provide services to these beneficiaries that they might not be able to provide themselves. And as you work with these existing ENs, you can develop a memorandum of understanding, and while they submit for payments, they'll pay you as well. We do have ENs that will partner with other ENs to kind of collaborate with each other. And then there's the local model, which is if you decide to become an EN on your own, you'll just provide the services, run your employment network, do everything that you're already doing now. And then there's also the modified local model, which is you will function as an EN yourself, but utilize your local resources. So for example, if you can't provide all the services that a beneficiary might need, you can go to your local Center for Independent Living or Easter Seals, and they might be able to provide services that you can't provide at this time. And when you partner with them or they subcontract with you, you can also pay them the funding that you receive under the ticket program to support you and the beneficiary. So now that we've been talking a little bit about the benefit of becoming an EN, how do you become an employment network? Your first step is to download the request for quotation, which is when you complete it, it's developing a blank purchase agreement with Social Security. So the RFQ, it might seem a little, you know, scary at first because it is 78 pages, but I always like to emphasize to my potential ENs that it's not 78 pages of information that you need to complete. You only have to complete one part of the RFQ, and that's part five, which is pages 63 to 76, which is not as many pages as 78. So that's just something to keep in mind. And when Social Security is reviewing these RFQs that come through, they like to make sure that potential employment networks have at least 2 years' experience of providing employment-related services to individuals with disabilities. So you are required to have that experience. Now, if you don't have 2 years' experience, you can provide at least 3 years' experience of employment services within the past 5 years. So that's just something to remember. And as an HVRP grantee, When you do submit your RFQ, you can actually submit your grant along with the RFQ, and that is a qualifications piece for the program because you are receiving funding to provide employment services, and that's something that they're looking for. And any other funding that you might be receiving, if you do receive MIG funding or you work with your state VR agency, those are also qualifications. So now that you've completed the RFQ, what do you do next? You do need to submit it to the Employment Network Contracts team at Social Security, and they'll review it and see if you are qualified to participate in ticket program. So when you do submit your RFQ, I ask that all potential employment networks either email it or fax it. And in our presentation today, we do have the email and fax number. We ask that you try not to mail the RFQ because sometimes that prolongs the process. Takes a lot longer for it to get into the hands of the contracts team, and they actually prefer to receive it via email or fax. And they do accept signature pages in that form as well. So kind of moving on to the next slide, which is slide 20. Once you become an EM, we do have a lot of resources out there for you. As we've said already, the Operations Support Manager has the Technical Assistance and Support Center, which both Kristen and I do work in. And what we do is we work closely with our current ENs to provide services that they may need to be successful. We provide you training. You can talk to us at any point in the day if you need to. And then you can also reach us via our toll-free number, and you can speak to an account manager on that line. And then we did provide for you up on the slide our fax number to reach us as well. And then we did just develop this really great new website, which has a lot of our resources up there. Any forms that you need after when you become an EN, there are forms that you do need to complete. So those are available for you online at yourtickettowork.com. And then we do actually have webinars and trainings up there as well. And if you do have beneficiaries that are interested in learning more about the ticket program, they can access that information via our website. There is a beneficiary page that's dedicated just for them. And then one of the other really great benefits that you have as an employment network is that once a month, Social Security will host an all-EN call, and they actually get on the phone and talk with you a little bit about some of the things going on in the program and any of the questions or concerns that you have expressed in the past month. And then they do actually have a question and answer session, so you can talk with them one-on-one if you need to. And this is a really great opportunity to kind of talk with them about any concerns that you have. So moving forward, how do you get in touch with us? I'm going to turn it over to Kristen to talk about our last slide.
Thanks, Meg. Well, I know we've given you an awful lot of information today, so I'm sure you have a lot of questions we probably can't answer in the next 9 minutes. But if you have any questions or you want further support on the road to becoming and thriving as an EN, we can help you. You'll see on this slide, we have a team of senior account managers and account managers assigned to each of Social Security's 10 national regions. So what you do if you were interested in further conversation was just locate your state and contact the senior account manager who's overseeing the team for your region, and they'll ensure you receive the supports needed by your organization. Thank you so much for giving us this time today, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you to all of the speakers for your input today. It's been really valuable, and I think I speak for the grantees in really thanking you for all being here today and for sharing your various perspectives. This is a really great program, and I hope that moving forward we can get more of the grantees to register to become ENs. At this point, unless John has questions that were submitted via chat, we can probably open it up to Q&A for the next around 10 minutes or so. John, did you have any submitted via chat?
The only question that we had in chat is really around the question of how the EN and the ticket program works with veterans who might be in self-employment. And is that something that can be addressed in the employment network or not?
This is Kristen from the TASC, and that is something that we can address. We do have ticket holders who are self-employed, so we can give you more information on that if you want to give us a call There was one of the EINs that was talking about specific examples of self-employment. That might be helpful to get some background from an EIN who's actually engaged with ticket holders who are self-employed.
John, this is Antoine. You can go ahead and call me later on, and I'll give you the information on self-employment and ticket to work.
Great. Thanks, Antoine.
You're welcome.
And just to make it easier, if people do have questions after the call today, or if you do want to make specific contact with one of the presenters, this is Bailey. You can just send me an email, and I'll make sure that I get it to the right person. So,
we have another question. What is the sharing relationship in terms of the Social Security Administration's EIN payment when a client is also a client of the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency? And an EN client, that's a separate EN.
Okay, actually, this is Meg, and I'll take that. So if you are currently working with your state VR agency, what happens is we do have this initiative in the ticket program called Partnership Plus. So what happens is that the state VR agency will have that ticket assigned to their organization, and generally their process is that they'll hold on to that ticket for 90 days. And they might send that individual to you to receive services, and they'll pay you as a vendor, for example. And then, but after that 90 days, they generally will close that case. And once that case has been closed, either successfully or unsuccessfully, that ticket is available for reassignment. Now, depending on if that ticket was closed successfully, there are some changes in the payments that you will receive off of that ticket. But once that case is closed, that ticket is available to be assigned to your organization. So we actually do encourage that if you're working with your state VR agency and you are working with an EN that came from your state VR agency, we educate that beneficiary on once they close that case with the state VR agency to that they can continue to work with you under the ticket program as an employment network.
And there are instances when an EN might not be in a partnership with the state VR agency, and the person could be duly and gives their ticket to or tries to use both the state VR and the EN? Does that happen?
There were the instances in which they weren't engaged in a formal agreement, but they
right.
they couldn't, the services have to be sequential. They can't be simultaneous. So it could be that an EN then, after successful case closure with VR, picks up the ticket and there's no communication between the VR and the EN,
mm-hmm.
but the services just would have to be post-successful case closure.
Meg, what kind of formal agreement needs to be made between the EN and VR? Would it be like a memorandum of understanding that might be established, you know, when they're going through the application process? For HVRP, or is it a specific format that's needed by Social Security Administration?
It's generally, depending on the state that you're in, we encourage that if you are going to be working with your state VR agency that you contact them after you've been awarded the BPA. And they usually have a process where they'll have you fill out paperwork so they know that you are an EN as well as a vendor. So that's just something that we encourage, that you kind of keep that communication with your state VR agency. And we work closely with a lot of the state VR agencies already, so they are aware that this is happening, and they encourage all of the new EANs to get in touch with them.
John, were there any other questions?
That's it from the chat room for now.
Okay. All right. Tanya, if we can go ahead and open up the floor for any questions that might be on the line.
Certainly, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. At this time, there are no phone questions.
Great. If you do have specific questions about becoming an EN, about the application process, please do let us know. I know that a lot of the questions that you might have might be very specific to your program and might be better served through an individual consultation. So please let us know. You know, we want to make this process work for you and make it as easy as possible. So once again, thank you to everyone for being here on the call, and thank you very much to our speakers for coming and sharing your knowledge and experience. And with that, we'll end it for today.
Thank you.
Stay
Thank you, Bailey. Thank you, John.
And this concludes today's call.